Welcome to the latest episode of Public Power Now. I'm Paul Schoenfeli, APPA's News Director. Our guest in this episode is Keith Butcher, General Manager of Minnesota Public Power Utility, Princeton Public Utilities. Keith, thanks for joining us.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Sure thing. So, Keith, just to kind of get our conversation started, I wanted to go back in history and talk about when you first joined the utility in 2019. At that time, the utility was in the middle of a tumultuous period marked by a public referendum to abolish the local public utilities commission. The referendum was soundly defeated. So I wanted to know if you could detail how Princeton Public Utility successfully navigated this challenge in particular.
Absolutely. You know, like all other municipal utilities, Princeton Public Utilities has been deeply rooted in the community since its establishment in 1911. However, there were concerns regarding rates and services, which had been simmering for some time. In 2018, a candidate for mayor targeted the utility as part of his election campaign, which he then won. By 2019, that focus had grown into an ongoing, aggressive, and actually negative social media campaign focused squarely at the utility. It was at that time that I came on board. I had actually been working in the Princeton community as a representative for the Southern Minnesota Municipal Power Agency, or SMPA, for about 11 years prior to that. So I had some experience with the community and staff, and many of the local businesses, but I also have a strong background in politics. Given my connection with Princeton, as well as that political background, I had hoped to help the utilities navigate the challenges that they were facing. It was clear as soon as I had started that the situation was volatile. There were accusations, misinformation, perceived slights. And what I tried to do initially was just help lower the temperature, create some space to have a dialogue, and really started learning as much as I could about the inner workings of the organization. And I did that because I wanted to determine what was accurate and what might be just misunderstood. Listened to what everyone was saying to help me identify what the underlying issues. Because it's been my experience that the public can often have a good sense of when something needs to change, even if they might not be able to specifically articulate the problem, let alone offer a solution. And I just view our challenge as leaders is to be able to consolidate diverse and often conflicting feedback to develop specific solutions to address generic concerns. So that's what I set out to do. It was early on, in my estimation, there were two things that PPU really needed to focus on, and that was transparency and modernization. At the time, there were complaints about preferential treatment, lack of respect, unclear decision-making, and social media became the primary battlefield for shaping public opinion. Although PPU had a minor presence on the web, there was an enormous vacuum. And as they say, nature abhors a vacuum. The comparable political adage that I've always used is, if you don't tell your story, someone else will, and you might not like how it ends. So that's the tack that we took. One of the first things I wanted to do was completely rebuild our website. We needed the flexibility to provide updates to the community quickly and effectively. And I also needed to work on mobile devices where more and more of our customers were accessing information. And we needed to be more transparent and accessible. And I was committed to showing the public what we were doing, good, bad, or indifferent, but I felt they needed to know. We created a YouTube page to record and share all of our public meetings on our new website. And we also established sites on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, which is now X, and Threads. I also heard from longtime residents state that they didn't know anything about our power plant, our water treatment plant, or had ever even been inside a water tower. So we created a series of virtual tours to show the public these local assets. Now, keep in mind, this was all during COVID, so in-person tours were not practical. We've found that the virtual tours actually allowed us to reach more people because they could view it on their own time. And I think that had an overall positive impact on the public narrative. We also did a series of interviews to highlight the past, present, and future of PPU. Although we chose not to directly engage in arguments on social media as issues arose, we would create posts explicitly explaining policies that people were talking about, such as disconnections, deposit policies, and the like. Discussions would often conclude with an invitation from us to the public to attend one of our monthly commission meetings, because they are public meetings after all, and it is their utility. If they could attend, we offered the option to provide comments in writing, and we also offered folks the ability to submit video comments if that would help. While all that was going on, we also began an internal review of our processes and procedures. When I had started, most of the staff had been with the organization for many, many years. Now, having a long tenured staff is invaluable to have that personal knowledge of the history and the past decisions, but it can also be a double-edged sword if you don't have a concerted focus on continual improvement. One can find that operations tend to stagnate in that kind of situation. We were, I was finding tasks that should have been automated were taking hours of staff time to complete. And many of our historical practices and policies are not documented. We didn't stop there. The commission was not immune to many of these changes either. Over time, we created a commission policy manual to cover such topics as conflicts of interest, purchasing policy, and better define the roles and responsibilities of everybody. As you pointed out, Paul, even with those changes, we did end up facing a public referendum on whether or not to abolish the Public Utilities Commission in 2020. It really became a central point in the mayor's reelection campaign. Without taking a position, the utility helped educate the public on the history of the utility and its role in the community. We created a specific page on our website to provide a series of FAQs based on the questions that we received. We posted updates regularly on our new website and social media accounts. There was also a grassroots effort, which was conducted independent of the utility, that offered a counter campaign. In the end, that referendum failed 29% to 71%, and the mayor lost re-election. The new mayor, who is still in office today, has led a shift towards a more collaborative approach and beyond the turmoil of those last few years. Although we continue to face challenges like everybody, we are now doing it together while sharing our successes and admitting our shortcomings with the public, just keeping them up to date on our activities. That's just how I look at it in terms of what we've done to get our information out there and address the concerns that were raised at that time.
So it sounds like even for a smaller utility, there's an importance to proactively leverage things like social media, whether it's in respect to what we've just been talking about in terms of this referendum or for that matter, anything else, right?
Absolutely. When I came in, our primary method of engagement with our customers were through bill stuffers, a very standard way of how we used to operate years ago. Many of our customers are on, automatic payments, get electronic billings. That is not as effective as it used to be. And so learning to engage customers of where they're at, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn or, whichever ones folks are working with, I think are important. Although we have all of our information on our website and people can come to us, we also need to be, I think, proactive and try to find where our customers are at and get the message to them in ways that they're used to consuming information in a modern environment.
So wanted to give you the opportunity to, as you look back at the last five years that you've served as general manager of the utility, what are the key accomplishments for the utility that you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, we have undergone a remarkable transformation over the last 5 years. And we did that by placing a strong emphasis on operational efficiency, transparency, and community outreach are the three that I focus on. We've streamlined our processes to better serve our customers. We've ensured greater public access to commission meetings through our YouTube account and heightened our engagement through events and social media. And the other thing I wanted to focus on internally was that we have really worked hard to foster a culture of employee empowerment. We've cultivated a workforce now dedicated to ensuring the welfare of both their colleagues as well as our customers. Their commitment to mutual support and incremental improvement has not only bolstered our safety practices, but also led to operational efficiencies and cost savings, all of which ultimately benefits the entire community. But as a result of those efforts, we've been able to focus on several critical initiatives, such as our electric capital improvement plan, a 10-year rate study, a comprehensive water plan, service territory annexation, fostering economic development in collaboration with the city, expanding customer programs and services, completing an AMI conversion for both electric and water, as well as improving the accuracy of our GIS system.
So wanted to turn to two recognitions that the utility has received from APPA. One, PPU has been recognized by APPA for exceptional electric reliability 2023 and also earned APPA Safety Award for excellence for safe operating practices in 2023. So against that backdrop, what are the steps utilities taking to maintain high levels of reliability and safety?
Yeah, I appreciate that. We have a small yet dedicated team. We have 13 employees, including myself, so give you an idea how small we are. And that's what's been really instrumental in achieving that success in reliability and safety. We've accomplished that through strong employee engagement, individual empowerment, and a shared sense of responsibility. The utility reciprocates that by taking care of our staff. We know that life happens. There are times where everyone needs help and flexibility. And we find that when we take care of our staff and create a culture of support and well-being, that they are then free to take care of our customers as well as each other. Ultimately, we've created a larger sense of community through mutual respect, purpose, and pride. Our team then ensures a swift response to challenges and continuous improvement and safety practice. It can be a lot of work, and it is a burden that ultimately falls on everyone through the shared sense of responsibility. But the result, I think, is an effectively run organization will staff well.
Great. Thanks, Keith. So earlier you mentioned the electric capital improvements plan the utility is implementing. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to offer additional details on that.
Yeah, thank you. Pretty proud of the electric capital plan. It's a lot of fun to work on. It's really aimed at modernizing our infrastructure and enhancing resilience. It's got a focus on upgrading distribution systems and substations, as well as completing the transition to a higher voltage. And we're poised to meet growing demand and improved reliability. And it's really part of our ongoing evolution. In the early days, Princeton was served by a single radial line from Elk River, Minnesota. Our reliability focus at that time was really on maintaining enough local generation for the entire towns during transmission outages. Currently, we have about 12 megawatts of diesel generation, but our summer peaks are now reaching around 14 megawatts. Over time, the grid has built up around us, and which has provided us with 3 points of entry into our system. However, the distribution system has not been updated to take full advantage of that flexibility. In addition, two of our three substations really have reached the end of their useful life and need to be upgraded. All of this comes also in the midst of a long-term effort to convert the local distribution system from 4160 to 12470. So in December of 2021, the commission approved a three-phase, 10-year, $12 million electric capital improvement plan developed by DGR. Again, to put that in context, our electric revenues are about $7.7 million. So that is a lot of money for somebody of our size. We are currently in the completion part of phase one this year and are starting the design for phase two. In addition to the work that I've already mentioned, we're also undergrounding all the new distribution line and services to increase resiliency. We're also increasing the size of the tie line between two of our substations. And that will allow us to feed the town from either the north or the south, thereby decreasing the likelihood of a system-wide blackout. We're on pace to complete the entire project by 2031 and feel that it really provides for a very robust system for the next generation.
One follow-up question, if I could. What are the ways that you're engaging and communicating with customers related to the plan and all the benefits it's going to provide?
Great question. So all of these discussions have been handled at the commission meetings, again, which mentioned we videotape and then post online and record it for people to come back and watch at any time. We have also been working very closely with the city council. We do a joint meeting with them at least annually. I attend a lot of the city council meetings to make sure that the city council members and the elected officials are kept up to date. And then during construction, again, being small with an office right here in town, obviously when they see folks out working in the right-of-ways, we often get phone calls about what's going on. And the office staff has been trained in to provide information and let people know the intent and the rationale behind it, and then provide them access to the resources that we have on our website to learn more.
So now you mentioned earlier in our conversation this Minnesota Municipal Power Agency. And obviously, as you know, the utility is a member of that joint action agency. So I wanted to know if you could describe for our listeners the ways in which the utility benefits from that membership.
Absolutely, and they're numerous. Yes, Princeton is an all-source member of SMPA. I always like to point out that SMPA is a membership-based agency as opposed to what others might know as a project-based agency. I personally find that this model helpful because it allows us to work together on a large suite of issues. might benefit everybody in varying degrees, but ultimately it really is best for the system as a whole. You know, I know it can be tempting to want a more a la carte type structure, but I really like the synergies that are that we capture through a membership-based group. And to me, that outweighs savings that one might see from individual service selection. That's just my personal opinion. Because ultimately, we all need to provide the same basic level of service to all of our customers. So I think the actual options sometimes can be a little bit more limiting than one might think. But long term, I just fundamentally believe we're all better off when we work together. In addition to the supply side resource acquisition that SMPA does, they also help us with regulatory filings and requirements, demand side management program administration, which is a whole nother skill set. And it's good to have that resource there, as well as advocacy at both state and federal levels. You know, the electric industry, and I'm not saying anything nobody here doesn't know about already, but the electric industry is a complicated endeavor. And to be perfectly blunt about it, I don't know, little Princeton simply couldn't do it alone. We rely very heavily on the expertise that. And then I would also want to share that, you know, SMPA has done a great job in terms of transparency. Although Princeton's not a board member, we're always welcome to attend their board meetings each month, and we often do. We get to hear directly from each department, and we're free to ask questions, provide input, and offer suggestions. And I greatly appreciate the willingness of SMPA to listen to and serve all of their members, no matter how small. And in addition to that, I guess I would also want to add that Princeton Utilities has been very thankful for all of its colleagues that have helped and partnered with us over the years through our involvement with SMPA and the Minnesota Municipal Utilities Association, MMUA, as well as APPA. I gotta share, I find it fascinating how unique the municipal utility industry is. I mean, we operate as a business selling product, you know, in our case, electricity and water. We're structured as a government entity in terms of oversight and accountability. And yet we partner like no other association that I know of. You know, unlike the private sector where folks might be competing for the same customer, municipal utilities really help each other, whether it's through information sharing or mutual aid. And because our goal is to serve each of our communities in the best way we can, nothing like I've seen anywhere else. It's a unique combination of traits and an openness that you just don't find. We are just immensely thankful for all the support that we've received from our peers, and we happily give back.
Thanks again, Keith, for taking the time of your day to speak with us. Love to have you back as a guest at some point in the future on the podcast. And I can think, obviously, to start off with, we could kind of revisit where things stand with the electric capital improvement plan. So I'm sure there will be a lot of other things going on at the utility that you like to discuss as well. So just want to give you an open invitation to return.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Public Power Now, which is produced by Julio Guerrero, graphic and digital designer at APPA. I'm Paul Champollion, and we'll be back next week with more from the world of public power.